And welcome back to Richmond Tiger Talk. My name's Nick.
And I'm Andy.
And I've had more fun than Friday night's game.
Yeah, I was just listening to Dimmer's post-game press conference to research the pod. And I have to say that the mood of the press conference nicely brought me back to the sort of grim, disappointed dad bleakness that we're all feeling on Friday night. The sort of the depth of despair is not comparable. You know, Richmond's supporters no despair, but it's certainly very, very grim. It's a very black, very depressing shade of grey rather than a complete blackness.
Yeah. I just feel like, for a potentially tortured metaphor, I just feel like that. The dungeon has a pillow bed on it these days. Like, no matter how bleak it gets, we can still lean back and luxuriate in the comfort of the three premierships. So
the good old days, yes.
It's just not as bad. But that doesn't mean that the 2 hours of football, 43 inside 50s for two goals, 10. That was not any fun whatsoever.
No, absolutely not. I thought the press conference captured the mood nicely, where Dimmer was asked about the underperformance of one area of the team, and he, with some degree of forensic evidence, outlined that the whole team was playing badly. I thought that, again, captured the mood nicely. But, you know, just watching the first quarter again, obviously we had all the inside 50s, but the combination of our sort of bumbling errors in the back line, giving them cheap goals, with them, their sort of normally amazingly inaccurate goal kickers suddenly having their once in a season kicking boots on, it was frustrating to watch.
It was, although, like, the first 10 minutes I wasn't worried. I was actually quite enjoying, because, you know, the game was entirely being played to the left of screen, and, like, our forward line certainly wasn't functioning, but, you know, the Saints barely had a inside 50 in that first half of the first quarter, and we just couldn't get it done. It was a pretty frustrating night out.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the key point. You know, we kept them to a losing score. The problem was we were even worse in our own ability to score. And sorry to keep quoting Dimmer, but he referenced that exact period of pain, Nick, that you just did, that we came away from that with no goals. And it feels like all year, or he said all year, that, you know, we haven't been getting enough cheap goals. And he's definitely been right the last few weeks. Definitely this week, that it's just been so hard for us to score. And obviously we'll welcome Tom Lynch back, but hasn't been the case during the whole CCJ area. But yeah, that was it was cruelly highlighted on Friday night, our forward line issues. We sort of, the season's not over, but it's not looking too strong.
No,
how do you want to start talking about individual efforts? Because, you know, there's I know on Friday night we got more than one text saying that we should start this podcast by the following people should be delisted.
I've got a positive for you.
Oh, okay, well done.
It's the first time that I remember in a senior AFL team, senior AFL game, CCJ really killing someone on the leg.
Oh, you've taken my one good positive, so that's good. But I'm glad that we noticed it too. And was very much that was like, ooh, this is
give me some more of that.
Yeah, nailing someone dropping back into your leading zone as a forward, that's a key skill, particularly for a big tall forward. And Lynch is a master at it.
And doing it as incidental violence rather than the deliberate sort that gets you suspended, that's spot on. I thought CCJ had his moments as well as a ruck against Marshall and Ryder as well.
I found the ruck rotation. I know it's everyone complained about, so it's hardly new. It was inexplicable. Like the Samson Ryan debut was a punt that fell dismally, obviously. But the why would you play them and then play CCJ in the ruck? Like, I thought the whole point was that we valued CCJ so much as a key forward, we weren't going to play him as a ruck, and then we did. And then you're right, there was actually, he set up one of our few goals through a nice center square clearance. You know, he wasn't perfect. He got over the top a few, got done over the top a few times because he's not a big jumper like Nank. Similar to Nank. And so he has to compensate in other ways. But yeah, he did have some competent taps, and he may, Flinch comes back, he may be ruck one, sort of highlighting his usefulness. But yeah, I, of the three rucks, I thought he was, while not having a great game, was the most competent.
Hmm. Mumps was our fourth best player on AFL player ratings, which I was surprised by.
Oh, well, there you go. So we got done badly in the rucks, and I couldn't see the numbers weren't his disposal numbers. He was actually the lowest, I think, had the lowest possessions of anyone on the team other than Mansell. Ryan, obviously, with his negative Dream Team score. I can't see that. And the problem is, like, okay, the AFL rankings, that's nice, but like, you're a big guy, you've got to be big. You've got to be big in your presence and the way you compete around the ground, and he's just not. But we went through this last week. But, yeah, the Samson Ryan thing, yeah.
Yeah, it didn't work. Look, I talked up Samson the week before for his game in the ruck versus Williamstown, but in no way in that did I suggest that he was close to senior football, so I was surprised. It felt a bit desperate.
the thing that surprised me about the selection was, let's be honest, we don't see the GPS data, we don't see all the advanced metrics, we don't know what's going on in the sort of all behind-the-scenes data, but I thought the three of them together didn't work in the VFL. Like, I think I said it on a podcast at the start of the year. I thought that it upset the balance having Ryan, Chol and CCG playing together. We couldn't all play them in their best position. And then we did it in the AFL, so clearly the coaching staff disagreed. Or maybe it was an experiment to see what Ryan had. If Nank was going to be out for a longer period, that was another theory I heard. And my theory was just that they wanted to make absolutely sure that CCJ was playing forward at 95% of the game. And, yeah, well, my theory was definitely wrong because that wasn't the plan. The only thing is Ryan did get a slight knock. So I don't know if that took up his confidence, but he's going to get knocks like that. Like, he's not on the injury report. He's going to get knocks like that a lot playing in the ruck. So, yeah.
Anyway. Yeah, look, I mean, he definitely needs to get bigger. I mean, he has got bigger from the last couple of years from where he was. But, yeah, there's still a fair bit to go. Look, I think in terms of team balance, you can always have a big on the bench while rotating through the ruck. Maybe that was the idea, but yeah, look, it didn't work, unfortunately.
You don't really need us to point it out. I think an alien coming down from space watching his first AFL game realized that didn't work.
Yeah, but that's not to say that structure doesn't work with better players.
No, it was I think before the game, it was actually our 2019 grand final structure.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, without obviously Soldo's Pelé-like genius, but yeah.
Obviously, nice huge knockdown. Samson Ryan was playing the Soldo role, Chol was playing the Nank role, and CCJ was playing the Lynch to Jack. Obviously, anything without Soldo is never going to be as exciting or effective.
Mm. Tim Membre rated worse than Ryan on the AFL player ratings. If you want to, and I think it was Grimes was the matchup on him who had 13 intercept disposals. So I think he can look his teammates in the eye.
Tim Membre or Grimes?
Grimes.
Yeah, agreed. Sorry. Completely. And good leadership. What you want from your 200 game, 3-time premiership players. Who else stood out to you?
Jaden Short had his career high in clearances, which led the team.
Yeah, that's pretty grim.
Yeah, with four. That's both, you know, another sign of, you know, Jaden Short becoming a more well-rounded footballer, and yeah, it probably points a few fingers elsewhere.
It does. Look, I wanted to play credit to Pickett's game for the 24 touches, 500 metres gained. 11 of those were contested. Like, they're all very solid numbers. And hear that beautiful holding the ball where he just murdered some I can't remember which Saints player it was. So, you know, not colours not completely lowered. I would say, you know, the point at the fashionable thing this week is pointing out that Cochin's done. And weirdly, off a much higher level, the decline, Trent Cochin's relative decline this year to his sort of last 3 or 4 year career averages, and obviously last year stuffs all the numbers up because of the shorter quarters, his is actually not quite, his decline in output is actually slightly less than Dusty's is. The slight difference being that Dusty is coming off being the best player in the NFL, and now by NFL rankings is sixth, so he's not exactly a stiff. But I also think sometimes with Dusty we forget that regular season Dusty isn't quite as good as finals Dusty.
2017 notwithstanding.
If you benchmark everything off 2017, everything Dusty does in the regular season looks bad. If you benchmark it off 2016, it actually looks pretty good. But yeah, Trent Cotch is not playing well, and his advanced metrics, his game looks terrible. But actually, his decline, statistically, the decline is perhaps not quite as catastrophic as you might at first assume.
Yeah. He did have a few bad moments, like getting, getting wiped out in a tackle.
Yep.
His game has to do that. He has to take people on, but yeah, it wasn't all that confidence inspiring a performance, unfortunately.
No.
Jack and CCJ had 5 marks inside 50 between them, which is probably slightly down on usual, but not a ton, and kicked 3 behinds from those 5 marks. Like,
really? Yeah, that hurt. It makes a huge difference. Like, it makes such a huge difference, right, to how the game flows on a wet day. If you don't take your early chances and you're trying to chase a big deficit, you're just letting the Saints play defensive football, and they don't have to take the risks.
Yeah, it felt like we were generating a lot of longer, like our set shots were bad, and we seemed particularly bad at those 40 to 45 metre kicks. But
proving the old cliche that no Jake Hart's, no Richmond.
Yeah, as you've often said. Bolton didn't have his best game.
Did you say Bolton? Because I was just about to say that too.
Yeah.
And that was almost like the, I just used it facetiously, but sort of the modern Richmond without Bolton's attacking nitric oxide boost that he gives. Fast and Furious reference there.
How topical of you.
Yes, indeed. But yeah, he's the special bit of sauce that gets everything going. And when he's not going, it does. Like, it's noticeable in its absence.
Yeah, the the combination of Castagna being pretty disappointing for large chunks of the season, Dan Rioli in and out of the side, we have relied on Bolton and Dusty for forward line magic a bit, and so when Arts isn't the reliable third wheel to that, as you said, the team structure didn't really work, but you noticed the lack of production from the small forwards.
Yeah, well, actually, no forward kick to goal.
Mm. Yeah, that seems bad.
Yes, indeed. That, we should probably look at that.
Yeah. A sentence that probably summarises the evening. Broad probably had his worst game for the year before he had the potentially season-ending injury.
Well, yeah, he actually started the rot, so... And yeah, syndesmosis. I did like the sort of good news for Noah Bolter fans is that his injury means that he'll do a full preseason.
I think that's no joke on Bolter. When
yeah, no, I had exactly the same thought. Yeah,
when he was lying there clutching his knee, I was thinking, oh, that's second half of next year, and I hope he's only done the ACL and he hasn't. Done the PCL and the MCL as well.
We hardly need to remind people that Soldo's, as you're exactly implicitly referencing the ACL, Soldo doing all the ligaments meant that it's a year and a half.
Yep. Yeah. A bone bruise on his knee and an ankle injury. That's sort of an 8 to 10 week injury. as bad as it is for this season, the different, we've talked before that just the difference for guys to be able to have a full preseason for next year is enormous.
Yeah. So completely makes a huge difference, and he's only becoming more important as it looks like, who knows. Dave's got a seemingly chronic Achilles injury, which he'll probably come back now. But it's not.
Yeah, he's so if he pulls up well after, he's just had constant, just hasn't constant got there. But so if he pulls up well from training, he'll play. But yeah, I'll be interested in replacing Broad and Bolter, particularly Bolter. Bolter, you just pick out the biggest dude on the other team and he trots over and stands next to him. Whereas Broad's got a lot more versatility, so it's harder to replace. Like Asprey for Bolter's a clean one for one, but who would you go? I mean, the options are sort of big or small. There's no real medium size utility option for Broad.
Well, it has to be Mansell, doesn't it? Because he's the closest thing.
Yeah, but he's 5'11".
Yeah, but I'm not saying he's a replacement, but he's got long arms. He's got a bit more positional flexibility than who's the other option? That's Paddy Naish.
Well, or you play Miller.
Sorry, you play who?
Miller, and then you play Grimes down.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's an interesting... I mean, in some ways you sort of almost tempt... I mean, Mansell's already... is effectively already in the team.
I like Mansell. And look, the Suns don't have a particularly tall forward line, for teams that can rotate more big guys through the forward line, I think Miller has to be an option.
So you've kind of transitioned already. I don't have nothing more to say about the game. Do you want to cover the VFL?
Yeah. So, well, the VFL, the problem with a long injury list and playing all our tall players in seniors meant that we were having someone 191 centimetres in the ruck for large portions of the day, which didn't go very well. And yeah, but actually, I think there were some pretty encouraging performances from the VFL, notwithstanding.
Primarily through the midfield?
Primarily through the midfield, yeah. I mean, we had, I thought Ben Miller was pretty solid down back, but Riley Collier Dawkins, you know, in a game where well, we've already heard that Presti is out for this week. His first quarter, you know, kicked a couple of goals, set up another Paddy Nash goal by busting through a pack and handballing over his head. Like, it was really dynamic, and he won quite a lot of ball. So that's the special sauce for him.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, on a team where it is looking a bit one-paced and you know unable to score the week before, he seems like a natural straight in. Thompson Dow, and by the way, he didn't have a tackle, but interestingly, Thompson Dow had six tackles, 23 touches of his own, and kicked a goal. And I noticed someone on the VFL report, I think it was the coach, said that they're training him in a few different positions for his long term growth. But you know, that kind of performance actually gets you a senior game straight away. And we should also mention that Paddy Nash, sort of perhaps in his future addition for the Gold Coast Suns, has had 32 touches and two goals. In a very solid game.
Yeah, and Jack Ross, 29 disposals off half back, probably the standouts. I thought Thompson Dow, he's got something. Talked about it before, that ability to make clean play when in a messy situation. Yeah, he's had a badly interrupted season with appendicitis at the start of it, but yeah, he's one player I'd really like to have a good crack at the final third of the season.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess there's only so many, because we've actually got most of our mids back now, though. I'm not sure we can play bring in both Dow and RCD, but this week, but I'm sure he'll get. I'd really like to see some more football for him towards the end of the year, particularly if we don't improve, if we're not in the finals hunt.
I know.
Anyone else?
And it's tricky. Oh, look, Ben Miller. Like it is worth. He had 18 disposals. And it is worth noting how far he's come since his first couple of seasons. Like, you know, he was on the, you know, he was a fourth round draft pick, on the list for a couple of years, delisted from the senior list onto the rookie list, and that, you know, that's never a sign that your career's growing well. But he's really stepped up this season. I still the question, you know, he tested really well at the draft camp, like both for speed, agility, vertical leap. And he was a junior ruckman, and always the question is, for, you know, that undersized junior rucks, is how well they transition to being a key position player and having that positional sense and just the ability to win the ball, and he never used to have that before. So he has definitely got better. Whether or not it translates at senior level, who knows? But you know, hats off to him for the improvement.
Absolutely, and we mentioned last week, I think it's good coaching. It's evidence of good coaching as well that he's clearly got better. Nanik, the Suns.
We really should win this. I know this is the part of the show where I talk up the opposition, but we really should beat the Suns. Like, they... look, they were more competitive last week than... but they were against North Melbourne. North Melbourne beat them by 9 points. Like, we... and should have beaten them by more. Like, they are not going very well. Like, their second half of the year swoon is in full effect. Matty Rao looked like a world beater at the start of last season, as you'd expect. You know, he's one of the most dominant juniors we've seen for a while. He's really struggled since coming back. I hope this week isn't the week he recaptures that form. But yeah, that's definitely been a concern. Isaac Rankin's struggling. They have so many just super elite talents. All the top five picks who we never had a chance of picking. Toke Miller is one of the very few who we did have a chance of drafting and didn't. And he's a real workhorse. I got a lot of respect for him.
We would love to have him. He's the 17th ranked mid in the AFL right now.
Yeah. Yeah. He's going really well.
So not mid player.
Oh, really?
And Greenwood's 13, by the way, if you're interested. So that what's remarkable is after Greenwood and Miller, there is nothing.
No.
Nothing else in the top 100. And when you think you should average at least five players in the top 100, they have two.
Yeah. Of course, that's doing a disservice to old friends Brando and Comrade Oleg, who are both having good seasons. I've really been happy to see how well Oleg's played. And we mentioned before, there is a sweet spot when players leave Richmond. You're happy for them to do well, but you don't want them to dominate. And both of those guys have been spot on that level.
Yeah, absolutely. And wish them all the best, unless they beat us. But we shall see. I quite enjoy watching playing both of them because of the reason you just outlined. Nick, I don't want you to prick you out too much, but betting as time of recording has actually been suspended on the game.
I was wondering, is that because the venue hasn't been confirmed? I thought it was confirmed for Marvel.
Yeah, I don't know. But I thought it had been. So don't want to worry about too much. The only other thing I could think would be, the home ground and whether Dusty players are the only two things I think that are really so, they don't suspend markets for thing that's going to move the line 1 or 2 points. So they're the only two things I could think of that would be that substantive. Nick, can I just so I agree with you about the point about the game, and I'm just sort of a bit numb at the moment, waiting for a resurgence. But it is an issue that we've lost, that losing Bolter and Broad is just getting my bees right. I kept wanting to say Bolton. Losing Bolter and Broad is just it's catastrophic for a team, for our chances of a premiership, if people were thinking about that. But which should still enough to beat the Suns. But can I just digress very briefly, Nick? Last week there was a debate about what a dynasty is in sport. The Richmond dynasty. So I actually went back and looked up the definition of dynasty. And effectively, Dynasty is something where there's multiple lines of succession. So basically, you know, you have a you know, as with the Chinese, they'll have an emperor who gives to their son, who gives to their son, who gives to their son. In NFL, hardly any sports teams are actually technically dynasties, because the only thing to really have a line of succession would have to be something like, had Gary Ablett Sr. won a few premierships and then passed that down to Junior, and then he won one from Geelong, that's a dynasty. Had we won a flag with Richo and Bowden, that would have been a dynasty. The current Richmond team and almost all teams are not dynasties because they're not through the line of succession. So just accept it's a made-up word that we used in sport for teams that win multiple titles. And since we've won three of them, we're a dynasty, obviously, by the made-up word.
No, the second half of the tens, of the 2010s, belongs to us. You know, the next closest team in grand final appearances is West Coast, and I don't, with respect to their 2018 was extremely, I would have died had Richmond been involved in the 2018 grand final, but this period of time hasn't belonged to them, and you know we've talked about the Bulldogs failure to follow up their grand final win, like we did. This period belonged to us, and you know, suggesting otherwise is a sure sign that it's a slow day for news. But that doesn't mean that we're not vulnerable right now. You know, past performance is no promise of the future, but it is. It's a group that, you know, does, I think it deserves a certain amount of confidence and until they don't. And, you know, I'm confident in the club, you know, will be pretty clear-eyed about, you know, is how much reconstructive surgery is required at the end of the year. Like they've got a pretty strong draft hand, which gives flexibility, if not a ton of cap space. So yeah, I think people will be in no illusion where we stand.
Yeah, and look, even if it all goes to hell in a handbasket from here, it doesn't actually change what historically how hard it is to win three premierships in close succession, and getting in a definitional debate about dynasty is ludicrous.
Nonsense.
Three flags are hard to win. And
we didn't see the first one coming. Nobody saw the first one coming. We did a podcast of we got so excited when mid 2017 when we started appearing as a serious betting option for the flag, because that hadn't been the case for since the early 1980s. So the entire lifetime of our players, we'd never been a serious premiership contender. So yeah, it's been great.
It has been, hopefully those debates will come back soon.
I'm Nick.
I'm Andy.
We're Richmond Tiger Talk.
It starts with a vision. If we're not locked into that, might as well pack up and go home.
You're talking about three flags by 2020.
Fitzroy is podium or finals with you guys.
And after 13 straight losses, the Tigers are no longer toothless. Their first win for 2010. Carmichael Hunt. Took it, Jeffrey. He does. Carlton.
West on to kick a goal from here. He does. What a start. Coming to slow. He's gone. No free kick, surely.
In the final home and away game of the season, obliterating the Tigers by 113 points.
First preliminary final in 16 long years, and they have done it. They've won. The Tigers are into the prelim.
Five 13 p.m. Tigers.